Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Well, happy New Year's Eve. Thank you for joining us on this special day. Today, we will have Ralph Nader joining us. Ralph Nader.
Why?
Ralph.
Yeah. He ran for president several times, you might remember, or you might not remember. And he's always been an advocate for health and for the safety of cars, and now is talking out for the animals with a book called Animal Envy. And he'll be joining us in just a few minutes on this New Year's Eve. Let's see, what's going on over there in the newsroom, Ms. Brooks?
Well, I have some fascinating facts for you about animal or dog saliva.
Dog saliva?
And, yeah. There's really a lot to know and understand. And also, what dog saliva has to do with allergies to dogs.
Really? They're related. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know, Judy, you allow Ladybug to pretty much saliva your entire face.
No,
you'll tongue her.
No, you're wrong. I will not let her anywhere near my lips. She can do my chin and my nose and maybe my cheek, but we stay away from the mouth.
Now, it doesn't disturb you that she just came from the kitty litter where she was having a little almond roca.
Well, obviously, I didn't see that, or I wouldn't have let her. You saw it. Yeah, you didn't warn me.
You never mind a dog kiss until you see them eating a cat crunchy. You know?
Well, in her defense, she likes the litter itself. She doesn't eat the roca.
Oh.
I know that makes no difference, but still.
Oh, good for you. Okay. Well,
That's crunchy.
Do you let your dogs lick your face, Joey?
Unfortunately, yeah, I do. I do. But we don't. I don't have cats in the house. So, but I do. You know.
I do, and I love it.
You love it too.
I kissed a dog, and I liked it.
You know what?
Yeah.
I gotta say, I am probably the only one in the studio. I know Dr. Debbie's working her way in here, and I know she probably sides with me here. The whole kissing thing is not hygienic. And you know, I'm kind of a germaphobe as it is. I wash my hands all the time.
Yeah, you are. But see, you just don't have that relationship with the dog.
I have that relationship. I see where he was
cleaning.
Yeah, you have the cats, and the cats don't really lick you much.
You're going to have news about that coming up in just a few minutes. I'd love to hear from listeners on this topic here. Do you let your dog tongue you? Well, not tongue you, just lick your face.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not the
I'd like to see the list of your girlfriends growing up, you know. Maybe the dogs were better, you know.
I don't know. We're way out of control. But going in our favor, it is the last show of the year.
Yeah.
So we're running on empty as it is.
Eggnog.
Eggnog fumes.
Leftover.
I also have a couple of kids coming on to talk about their brand new invention to help blind dogs. You know anything about this?
It's an infrared sensor dog collar.
Now, these are kids that designed this?
These are kids, yeah. They're young teenagers.
Young teenagers.
Yeah, I think even younger than that. Preteens.
Okay.
Tweens? Is that what they call them?
Okay, we'll be talking to them in just a few minutes. And if you are a lover of the pit bull like we are here, you're going to love Deidre Franklin and her book, The Pit Bull Life. She's joining us, and we'll have giveaways of her book just around the corner. But first, your calls from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pinehurst in North Carolina.
Okay. Is that coastal?
No, it's not coastal. It's a bit further inland, about 2 hours. There's a lot of golf around here.
Is that your North Carolina golf accent, too?
No. No, I haven't picked that up yet. No.
You are on with Dr. Debbie.
Wonderful. Well, I wonder if you can help me, Dr. Debbie, with my little spaniel mix, Sophie. She's 6 years old, and she has like an obsessive compulsive disorder that seems to be getting worse. It's a behavior where it's very hard to describe, but she'll sit down on anything soft and then she'll move her paw, fold her paw over, one of her paws over, and move it from left to right, as if she's smoothing over the surface, and she'll move her head one side to the other. And sometimes she does it, it becomes more rapid, and it's just very strange to watch, and we have to try to call her or, you know, to get her attention out of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she'll just stare into stare at a spot, like on the coffee table leg. She'll just stare at stare at things. It's like she goes into a trance almost.
Okay, and when she hears your voice, does that stop the behavior?
It takes a little while. It takes a few minutes. Rather than just snapping her out of it, I find mostly if I kind of stroke her and say, Sophie, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. She'll stop, and then she'll just put her head down. But she'll do it on any soft surface, any rug or any throw or on and in her bed as well.
And, okay. And does she do any kind of drooling? Is there any?
No.
What's her anxious state? Is she alert? Is she quiet and calm?
She's quiet. It's just the rapid movement that she's doing with her head and her paw, her foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess it's possible we could be dealing with something of an obsessive compulsive disorder. The only thing with that is we tend to see a state of anxiety or a heightened arousal. From what you're describing, I'm actually a little bit concerned that this could be a form of a seizure disorder. And in dogs, a lot of people are really familiar with the grand mal seizure and what that looks like. And in dogs, they'll fall over, kick, paddle. They may lose control of their bodily functions. But we can see other degrees of seizure disorders where they can either have what we call petite mal seizures or focal seizures. Mm. And that can affect just isolated parts of the body. And in some pets, a petite mal seizure can be something as simple as staring off into space and kind of being out of it for a short period of time. The only thing that doesn't quite fit with that is, you know, the soft, you know, environment trigger. So that's a little bit curious, but I would certainly want to get Sophie checked out and probably get some lab work done just to rule out for some of the more common causes of seizure disorders.
I had a Sheltie that had petit mal seizure or epilepsy, and this is kind of different to that, in that she has the soft surfaces and it comes and goes. And she doesn't seem to be in any pain, but just mentally.
Yeah, if she's not fully mentally with it. Now, and that's one of the big differences, and it may be hard. This might be something, a good idea to videotape an exposure or an episode of this, because a lot of times as the veterinarian, we can't see things. And I've had people bring in videotapes of behavioral problems or seizure disorders, and it can really help in making an accurate diagnosis. So I would, you know, pull out the old iPhone or the videotape player and do that, because that really may help. In deciding. If we're leaning more towards a behavioral problem, we talk about behavioral meds, you know, maybe some anti-anxiety things. But boy, I'd say first and foremost, I'd want to make sure we're not missing something with a seizure type problem. I'd check that out.
Got it checked up.
And I love the name Sophie. It's so sweet. I imagine a sweet, sweet little cuddly gal.
Very, very cuddly. She's 20 pounds, very brown, very sweet face. I think she's crossed with Papillon. Not sure, but she's just very sweet.
Oh. Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. This is Dr. Debbie with Animal Radio. Hi, I think we have, is this Frank on the line?
Yes, it is. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing wonderful. What can I help you with today?
Well, I have a 12-year-old dachshund. And a couple of weeks ago, he started exhibiting symptoms of a real raspy kind of a cough and a gagging. We thought maybe he had a cold or something, but it gets continuously worse. We're trying to make an appointment for the vet Monday, but I'm kind of concerned about him. He seems to be having, at times he's fine. And then when he has these attacks, it's like, you know how when you choke, you can't get the air in? Well, he seems to be just the opposite. He seems to be able to take the air in, but then he has trouble getting it out, and he just kind of pants. And last night he was really bad.
Would you call this basically a true cough where he's going, or is it more kind of like a snorting, kind of on the inhale kind of sound?
It's more of a cough, and then he'll cough for a little while, and he keeps you. I can see him trying to force air out, and then he'll finally gag a little bit. And then he'll be okay for a while. But he doesn't gag any.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to figure out in my mind without seeing him is if this is really a coughing that he's exhibiting or if it's more what we'd call a reverse sneezing, which kind of looks like an asthmatic attack in a dog, although they don't really truly get that kind of thing there. But it's kind of where they're labored in breathing. They can't quite catch their breath, but it's not in a coughing kind of zone. It's more kind of how I feel right now. My head's kind of congested and it's kind of a...
That could well be it.
Okay.
It's not a cough like I would, you know, lose, but it's like,
okay.
if that
okay.
makes any sense over the phone.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love these audio descriptions because, I mean, that to me could be on that borderline of maybe a real cough. So I would just say yes. I would definitely make sure we get him to the veterinarian because a doggy in his age group, we really want to look at that heart as a potential cause of coughing-related problems. And then get some other things, some bronchial problems, some collapsing trachea things. But if this is something that came on all of a sudden, then I would certainly want to get some chest x-rays and look at that. If we're leaning more towards this reverse sneezing thing, then that's kind of a different thing we see a lot with a lot of allergy times of the year. Some dogs get that when they have bad teeth or if they've got sinus infections. So some of those things, I can envision some good things that maybe might be causing that. But as far as if we're actually labored with that breathing, then I would really be cautious and I'd want to get him looked at right away.
Well, don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear-Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear-Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. Happy New Year to you. Almost New Year. It's almost there.
Yes.
I won't be around when you're looking for someone to kiss at midnight, so I'm going to tell you right now, we love you lots. We'd give you a big sloppy kiss for listening. We thank you and appreciate your listenership. Also on the way, Ralph Nader will be joining us. He wrote a book. It's actually a pretty cool book. He's actually a pretty good writer, I might add. It's where the animals have a common language as the humans. So we understand what they're... It's obviously fiction.
Right.
And what they would say if they could talk to us, if we had the same language and we could understand each other.
Oh, heaven forbid I find out what my dogs are saying.
We wouldn't want that. Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention... If you need your fix during the week, you can head on over to animalradio.pet. Some of the interviews that you hear, because of time restraints or constraints, are cut a little short if you want to hear entire interviews. And also, I believe there's some interviews that have language in it that we just can't air on the radio. So, boy, you'd be amazed.
Now we got their mouths. Now they got their interest. They yes. want to listen.
And, of course, download the Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. And as we say goodbye to 2021, we're saluting some really great kids that are doing some fun stuff in the name of animals. We welcome to the show Joshua Armstrong. Hi, Joshua. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
How old are you?
I'm 13.
13, and you are homeschooled, correct?
Yes, I am.
You are a very smart kid, aren't you?
I like to think so.
Where do you live?
Norman, Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma. Okay. You are working on something that could possibly help dogs in the future, huh?
Yes.
What is it?
It is a collar that helps. Well, actually, it's a circuit box that goes on the dog's collar.
Okay. And what does it do?
Just a second. I need to hand you over to my brother, Zach.
Okay, so your brother, Zach. How old is Zach?
He's 15.
Okay, let's talk to your bigger brother.
Hello.
So you and your brother have been working on this genius device that that will probably help dogs in the future, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so it attaches to the dog's neck. It's a circuit. And what does it do?
Well, whenever it's on the dog, we turn it on, then it sends out a burst of infrared light. And whenever an object's close to the infrared, it can bounce back, sort of like it does in people's eyes with light. And whenever it bounces back to a little receiver, then the device beeps. And the dog knows that the beep means to stop or turn away.
So this is for a blind dog, right?
Yes, actually a blind Great Dane.
Blind Great Dane. Oh, so are you making it for a specific dog?
No, we're actually making this for a person who boards our dog.
Okay.
And hopefully in the future we may be able to get this out to many more people than just her.
And it's using ultra red light. What is it? What kind of light? Ultraviolet light? What is it?
Infrared light.
Infrared light.
It's just below red.
Okay, so humans can't see it.
Right.
Can the dog see it? I know they can hear and see things that we can't see.
As far as I can tell, dogs cannot see infrared. And even if they could see this, then it would be, to them, just sort of dim.
You guys are pretty smart. I wish I was that smart when I was that age.
Yeah.
Me too.
We learned from our elders.
What do your mom and dad do for a living?
My dad is an X-ray tech.
Okay.
And my mom is a nurse in the ER.
And are they the ones that homeschool you?
Yes, sir.
And how many kids are working on this project?
We currently have 5 kids working on it. Me, my brother Josh, who is still on the line with me, my sister Mariah, my other sister Rachel, and a friend of ours named Matthew Lewis.
And so where do we go from here? You're still testing and trying it out?
Yep, we are testing it and we are perfecting it. So the one problem we have with it is that it does not work as well in sunlight because sunlight contains infrared.
Oh.
And sort of interferes a little bit. Another potential that we are looking into right now is the potential of laser technology to where it can work better in sunlight and basically work all the time instead of just less sunny settings.
Yeah.
That is so cool because you know, I'm sure you know this, Zach, or you've learned that animal tech gadgets, that's like one of if not the fastest growing segment of the pet industry.
It is.
Yeah. This year, one of the biggest, there's a couple of things. The GPS for dogs is still big and huge. I mean, that's one part of the sector that's just taken off. Also, the home cameras that feed the animals.
Yes.
A lot of technology this year. So I think you're in the right area. And as soon as you fine-tune it, will you give us a call?
Oh, sure.
Let us know when it's ready for production or when you make that multi-million-dollar deal to have it licensed somewhere. We want to hear about it. You guys have a website?
Yes, actually we do.
What is it?
It is 23910 timberwolves.doodlekit.com.
Okay, it's a long one, so we're going to put the link over at animalradio.pet. And anybody who wants to learn more about what you're doing, they can head on over there and link directly to your site. We appreciate you and Joshua talking to us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Proud to know you guys.
Take care, guys. Yeah, great work. Always fun to talk to young kids, up-and-comers in the business.
Yeah, these kids are going to go far, I bet.
Yep.
We should remember their names. We're going to hear from them again.
I was not homeschooled, and even at 13 and 15, at that age, I was just picking my nose a lot. Really. That's the way it is. Okay. Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Kensington Books. Curl Up with a 12 Days of Snowball by Kristen McKenna. It's an adorably funny novel featuring a matchmaking cat named Snowball. The 12 Days of Snowball. It's a perfect read for animal lovers or anyone looking for romance. Pick up your copy today anywhere books are sold or visit KristenMcKenna.com. That's KristenMcKanagh.com. And thanks, Kensington, for underwriting Animal Radio.
Check out Animal Radio Highlights, all the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
Hi, this is Carrie Aninaba from Dance with the Stars. Don't forget to spay and neuter your animals, and you're listening to Animal Radio.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. A recent study published in the Journal of Current Biology has found what they call strong evidence that dogs have episodic memory, or that's the amazing ability to recall events from the past, like humans do. So to test and explore the dog's memory, here's what they did. Researchers took advantage of a trick called do as I do. Now, dogs trained to do as I do can watch a person perform an action and then repeat it. For example, if the owner walks 2 steps forward and stops and gives the do it command right after, then the dog is going to do exactly the same if it's doing it correctly. So they tested each of the subject dogs using that technique. After 1 minute, they gave it the do it command. And then again, they gave the command after 1 hour. And then the results show that all the dogs were able to recall the demonstrated actions after both the short and long-term intervals. So the researchers say, from a broad evolutionary perspective, this pretty much implies that episodic-like memory is not unique and did not evolve only in primates, but is more widespread in the animal kingdom than we had thought before. Pretty cool.
That is. But you know what? I'm not terribly surprised.
you know, and that's what I love. That, you know, it seemed like the bottom line of this study is that they're saying, you know, we're kind of not surprised either. And why are we always so surprised at what dogs can do?
Yes.
Well, most of us don't think twice about the saliva that comes out of our dog's mouth. You know, we like a kiss every now and then, right?
Sure.
But it's the common thing is our lack of understanding of animal saliva. Apparently, animal saliva is much more complicated than what we had previously believed, or those of us who aren't veterinarians. And we don't understand as well how it impacts both humans and our pets. So from the website PetMD, I found this some fascinating facts about dog saliva that may change the way you think about your pet and its mouth. They say dog saliva actually helps prevent them from getting cavities. Who knew? It's also much better than human saliva at preventing cavities, and mostly that is because a dog's saliva is more alkaline than ours is. So try some of these facts on that I'm giving you at your New Year's Eve party tonight, okay? Dog saliva is also antibacterial. You know how you're always seeing them licking something. But licking is not going to cure all of their superficial infections, so you still have to visit the vet. Now, just because dog saliva has antibacterial properties does not mean that dog kisses are clean and you can let your guard down. There was a study published in the journal Oral Biology a couple of years ago that found there can be transmission of bacteria between dogs and their humans. Now, dog saliva, this to me was fascinating because I didn't really understand this before, but dog saliva may produce allergies in humans. While most of us believe that, you know, it's the pet fur, the dander, that's the culprit of our allergic reactions to dogs, many allergies, it turns out, actually stem from proteins that are found in dog saliva. You're thinking, okay, well, Here's how that works. Dog saliva contains at least 12 different allergy-causing proteins. So when a dog, you know, cleans himself and licks their fur, the saliva dries. And then those proteins become airborne. Oh. They land on you or wherever. Or, of course, a dog could just lick you and you would, you know, possibly get an allergic reaction. But researchers who conducted that study concluded that dog saliva does have greater potential as an allergen source than dog dander.
Ah. Hmm. So don't be tonguing your dog anymore, even though you think it may prevent cavities in yourself.
Very good point, Hal. Yes. I'm Lori Brooks. We'll have fun with this one. Tell us what you guys think. You can get more breaking animal news, by the way, too, anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com. And I won't.
Vinny Penn, your party animal. Yeah, I'm still with you. Can't get rid of me that easily. Probably going to be a little bit dated here. A couple of tales from over the holidays to catch up on. One of them being, of course, hit my local Petco to buy our fish Betty her Christmas present. I mean, why would you not have to pick her up a little something special? She is part of the family. Just a little something for the aquarium, a little accoutrement. A little new little palm tree for her little bowl. And I noticed up at the counter, I mean, Petco's obviously your go-to place, but I noticed up at the counter that they were selling dog and cat mints. They were in like little tins, like Altoid tins. And there was nothing farcical about it, nothing tongue-in-cheek about it. It was dog and cat mints. Now, maybe if it had a funny name like, you know, Kiss Meow, maybe something like that. I don't know, that's a little bit clever, but it wasn't. It just was in a tin, and it's a dog and cat mints. Now, I've said here before, I'm really not into those owners that basically make out with their pets. They think it means something to us when their cat leaps up onto the table. That alone, I don't think is acceptable. But when they proceed to basically French kiss the cat, I mean, I'm disturbed by that as it is. These mints are only going to encourage it more. Do they need good breath? I don't understand. What would we do without the saying, oh, that guy, he's got dog breath, man. We can't eradicate that. They're supposed to have bad breath. These are four-legged creatures that are supposed to have bad breath. So needless to say, I apologize to all of you out there who bought dog or cat mints for your pet, which leads us to... got into a bit of a bickering match with someone. A buddy of mine who's got the greatest dog in the world. His name is Spaz, and it fits. But as much as Spaz is a Spaz, he's just a great dog. After you're there 5 minutes and he has his three seizures and does four backflips and jumps into your groin area so repeatedly, you're convinced you'll never be able to have another child. He totally chills out and hangs in your lap. And he is absolutely a member of this family, my buddy Steve's family. And yet, lo and behold, I'm over there for the holidays. And I see the stockings hung with care because soon St. Nick would be there. No stocking for Spaz. I got into it. How could you not have a stocking? He's a member of the family. Now, make no mistake. Fans of the Party Animal segment know we have a little fish, Betty, and maybe I'm drawing a thin line here. We don't have a stocking for Betty. You don't get a stocking for the goldfish. I don't know. There are animals, there are pets you get stockings for, and there are pets you don't get stockings for. A dog, you get a stocking for. A cat, you get a stocking for. I don't know, from there it gets a little bit blurry. I could see maybe getting one for the bird in the house. I don't know, maybe the hamster. No, I don't see the fish. We had a turtle. We didn't have a stocking for the turtle. Maybe we'll take some emails on it, vinny@animalradio.com. But it got ugly over there. I mean, of course, the Jack Daniels didn't help. But he got a bit, my buddy Steve got a bit belligerent when I questioned where Spaz's stocking was. And the night did not end well, especially because it got his wife in on it, and it was one of those awkward kind of holiday moments where she had a little too much spiked eggnog, and she's like, I've been saying the same thing. He never listens to me. See, your friend agrees with me. And all of a sudden, you're standing there like, well, all right then, Merry Christmas. Party animal, Vinnie Penn.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Some describe seeing fireworks at romantic times, but fireworks seem to have blasted the libido right out of a once romantic ostrich in Germany. Rico Gabel is claiming over $6,000 in damages and wants the three boys responsible to pay up. His ostrich, Gustav, was once a fun-loving playboy who had no trouble romancing his two partners. But Gabel says three boys setting off firecrackers near his farm has made Gustav, the ostrich, apathetic, depressed, and just not in the mood for love for 6 months. His owner says the firecrackers were responsible for him losing on an estimated 14 ostrich offspring, worth about $500 apiece. The case is still in litigation, but the good news is Gustav is now feeling much better and able to be romantic once again. Thanks for asking. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
A lot of dogs are afraid of fireworks, so here's ways you can help your dog. Tire them out, because a tired dog is a calm dog. You remember to stay calm. Dogs can tell a lot from your body language, and if you're anxious, your dog's going to be anxious, so don't jump at the sound of fireworks. Pretend it's normal. You know, no big deal. You can leave a TV or a radio on. That helps your dog with fireworks because it dampens the sounds. Distract your dog. Take him outside and play ball with him. Take him for a fun walk. Take a bike ride and let him trot alongside. Make sure if your dog somehow runs away that his collar is on with his tag so people can contact you. With that in mind, keep your doors and windows shut. Dogs don't understand where fireworks are coming from, so when they hear them, their instinct may be to bolt.
This is Animal Radio, baby.
Hi, this is Judith Chapman from Young and the Restless at CBS, and I'm on Animal Radio right now, and I'm asking everyone out there to please spay and neuter your pets.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
Hello, I'm David Bellamy, the Bellamy Brothers, and we're on Animal Radio. Love your animals.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
I was laughing here at this book. This is like the cuteness overload for radio. You cannot see it, but let me assure you, the front of this book, The Pitbull Life, A Dog Lover's Companion, is absolutely adorable. Here, hold that picture up to the microphone, Judy.
Which one? They're all beautiful.
Little baby pit bulls. And you know, I've always thought pit bulls get sort of a bad rap.
They do.
Yes. Every generation, there's a dog that gets kind of a bad
rap. Isn't that the way it seems to have been over the last century or so?
You remember when German Shepherds were the thing, and then Rin Tin Tin came out?
Yep.
And the whole thing changed. But there's been, what other dogs have been?
Dobermans.
Yep.
Dobermans. Rottweilers. Yeah. The Omen. Yep.
And as you know, and we've said before, the most offending, biting dog is actually not a pit bull. But it's a dachshund.
It's a dachshund.
The little wiener dogs.
Bites more people than any other breed of dog, but unfortunately it doesn't inflict the amount of damage, so it's not newsworthy.
We have Deidre Franklin joining us. Hi, Deidre. How are you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
Very good. So tell us a little bit about the book.
Absolutely. So we wanted, I actually co-authored it with a woman named Linda Lombardi, and she's a zoologist and an author. But we wrote the book because we wanted to help people understand the laws affecting these dogs, what it's like to own this kind of dog, especially as it pertains to people's perceptions. And we really wanted to give people a map in some ways of how to survive some of those challenges and enjoy their dogs at the same time.
It's hard to do when you have cities like Denver. Denver, Colorado, what you think of as a pretty advanced, contemporary, modern city,
sure,
part of a state that has recreational marijuana. I mean, you could drive down the street to get an ounce, but you cannot get a pit bull there legally because it is illegal there. Obviously, there's something very wrong with the system, huh?
Absolutely. And so some of those laws were set up so long ago and by in different times than we're living in now. And so the Denver example started in the 80s, and that's when they were worried about gang situations and drugs and other things. So they felt like if they banned dogs that they associated with these kinds of people at the time, then they would keep these dogs out of their population. But instead, they really just made them more popular with the people they were trying to affect. Oh, my dogs have an opinion about this.
Good, good.
Oh, yes, we want to hear it.
What do you think, buddy? Like, Denver is just wrong. So people are still trying to change these laws to this day. Part of the issue is people don't have pit bull type dogs in Denver to really understand wanting to bring them back to.
Sure.
So it's kind of, you know, a catch 22 in that way.
Is there really a pit bull breed?
No. There's no such thing as a pit bull. There's three different kinds of dogs that are purebred dogs that are associated with pit bulls. But part of the problem is that most dogs look like some form of pit bull today because they're such a muttly breed. So we have like 57 Heinz kind of dogs that all look like block-headed, short, stocky dogs.
So you have, I assume, the dog in the background's a pit bull. What's his name?
That's actually our Harrier mix and our pit bull mix, Baxter and Zoe.
So what should someone know if they're thinking about adopting a pit bull?
I think the first thing to know is that you're going to be stigmatized automatically. So a lot of people, thankfully, are changing their minds about these dogs, but there's still going to be people who are going to yell at you when you walk that dog down the street who think that you have a dog that's dangerous just because...
Does that really happen to you?
All the time.
Jeez.
I even get emails from hate groups that tell me that it's my fault when something happens with a pit bull type dog because I'm promoting them.
Do people cross the street when they see you coming down?
Absolutely. But there's a lot more people these days crossing the street to meet my dogs, too. So it's gotten better than it used to be.
So we've made progress, you think?
We have definitely made progress, yes.
You know, I'm a pet sitter dog walker here in my town, and I do have a couple clients that have pit bulls. And when I go to their house, I go alone. You know, I'm opening their door, so that dog is protective of their house when I walk into it. And the two clients I've had, the dogs come charging at me when I open the door and jump all over me and just want to lick me to death.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I thought, oh, and you're supposed to be protecting your house.
Exactly.
You know?
The worst guard dogs are.
They are.
Like, the kitchen is in there, and if you could drop something off to me while you're on your way to the safe, just hook me up on the way out.
Or I'll show you where it is. Come here,
exactly.
As long as you know.
And they're like, just throw something over to me.
Yeah.
So if I get one, I guess it has to be twice as good as any dog, just
exactly.
Behavior-wise, because people are going to be looking at that dog, looking for problems.
Exactly. And some people really like that about them, which is a shame. But most of the time, people really want to show them off as being the great dogs that they are. And those are the people we're hoping are, you know, out there representing them.
Isn't it true, like any intelligent dog, that they need constructive exercise and to be kept busy and
absolutely,
you know, things
and
like
all
that?
Dogs have teeth, so they all have the potential to be problematic. So you want to make sure you're putting good things into your dog and training them positively and giving them that good structure in order to be great representatives. Any dog, all dogs, not just pit bull type dogs.
I also see that you're the founder, president, and the soul behind Pinups for Pit Bulls.
Well, what's that?
What is that?
We do an annual pinup calendar every year, and we use pinup style hair and makeup and costuming, and we pair the different kinds of dog advocates around the country and around the globe, actually, now, with pit bull type dogs. And usually it's either their dog or a dog that we borrow from a rescue or shelter. And we use that imaging to help people see them as they are, as the goofy, sweet, loyal dogs that they are. And it gets a lot of attention from the media and things like that. And once we get their attention, then we correct them on the myths that they've often purported and give them the good information to spread.
Well, this looks like a great book. It is the first of its kind that I've seen. It's called The Pitbull Life. A Dog Lover's Companion, the author Deidre Franklin, is joining us, and I have 10 copies to give away now. If you're not lucky enough to get on through, head on over to Amazon.com or your local bookstore and ask for it. Thank you so much, Deidre, for being with us today, and give Baxter and Zoe a big old hug from all of us.
I will. Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate your time.
Let's head back to the phones for your calls next.
Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Justin Silver from CBS's Dogs in the City here on Animal Radio, just reminding you to always stay and neuter your pets.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome, my friend. So inspired from last hour, listening to these 13 and 15-year-old kids who are homeschooled and are making a device for blind dogs. So smart. If you want to learn more about these guys and what they're doing, head on over to our website at animalradio.pet and check out all of their cute projects. Very scientific and very, who knows? These guys may be the next...
Steve Jobs.
I will tell you, yeah, Steve Jobs. They are working in the technology sector of the pet world. And really, that's taken off like nobody's business. We see GPSs for animals. We see these cameras now that treat your dogs when you're away. Technology in pets, a big growing sector, a part of the $60 billion animal and pet sector.
Yeah, and I think you should remember these kids' names because I think you're going to be hearing from them in the future. Definitely.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah. We're going to go to the phones in just a couple of minutes before we talk to Ralph Nader. I see Molly, the studio stunt dog. Yeah. She wants to go out. Yeah. Maybe you should take her outside. She doesn't...
You know, that's what I want to just do is when I want to go and do something, I'm just going to squat.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, dogs have it. You know, just let us know.
She's the only one that can stop
it?
The radio show so she can go potty. And she didn't get to go before the show. We had the pesticide people come by prior to the show beginning. And so we were letting the pesticides outside dry before we let them out to pee or do their business because I guess it has to dry for about a half hour or so.
Right. You don't want them walking through the wet product. Once it's dry, you know, the risk of any injury or illness is very unlikely, but yeah.
So Judy just ran out of the studio carrying Molly, the studio stunt dog, to go pee in a non-pesticide area. So what are you working on over there, Lori, in the newsroom? Anything just as important?
Not nearly as important as that. And Lucy's doing backflips saying, feed me. I told you we're going to talk about the most popular dog names of the year.
Yes.
And there are some trends in there. But also, if you're into things like, you know, Game of Thrones and some of those internet sensation things, even movies, we'll tell you what the trends are for naming your dogs in connection with these, you know, whatever they're called. I'm not very Game of Thrones inclined. And that's a TV show, right?
I think it was maybe a movie, a TV show. We're very unhip here at Animal Radio because we're all grown-ups. But for the most part, we're seniors, except for Dr. Debbie. I think that there was a trend to be named after humans this last few years. I've seen a lot of
That's another one. There's also two dog names. I'll tell you two dog names that are the most popular in Portland and Los Angeles, Left Coasters. Very interesting.
Okay, that's on the way right here on Animal Radio.
I'm not a senior.
Let's go to the phones for your calls. Toll free from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android and BlackBerry. So download it now. Also, if you have a Yorkshire Terrier, a Shih Tzu, a Pug, or a Mini Schnauzer, check out Dr. Debbie's ebooks, How to Be Your Dog's Best Friend. They're available over at Amazon, and we have links from animalradio.com. And we go to Kent. Hey, Kent. How are you?
Good, and you?
Good. Where are you calling from today?
I'm from a town called Fleetwood that's halfway between Reading and Allentown in Pennsylvania.
Listening on WEEU, I bet, huh?
Yes, yes.
Good, good. Well, so what's going on with your animals? I have the whole team here for you.
We have three cats, about 2 or 3 years old. Two of them are brothers. One of them was one that we somebody had found and we took in. And the one brother has some issues with his diet. We've had him on some food that we've noticed over time he's been throwing up a lot. And we switched his food to a different food that was supposed to be more palatable, and that he's done fine with, but we've noticed that he's been losing hair around his lower jaw. And I'm just sort of wondering if there's a means by which might be a good way of trying to find a food that works for him rather than going through a random process of elimination.
Sure. What do you think, Doc?
Well, I think we've got a lot of things going on in your kitty, so this won't be a very straightforward, quick, easy answer I can give you, because you're describing a couple things that are potentially either symptoms related to each other or unrelated. So that takes a little bit more work in getting to the bottom of that. But if you've got a kitty that's vomiting, you know, on a regular basis, there's a lot of different medical issues that can cause that. Anything from inflammatory bowel disease to pancreatitis to food intolerance and many, many more things. So that's one thing as far as if we look at that and address that. Did I understand you said the kitty has asthma as well?
Yeah, he's had some wheezing asthma.
Okay.
We've gone about every 6 months for
a steroid
shot.
Okay. Yeah.
And that seems to have helped it a lot. And okay. It would be fine for, you know, like the 6 months, and then okay. It sort of acts up again.
Okay. And then so we've got the vomiting, we've got the asthma, and then we have the hair loss on the chin. So all of those things, like I said, can be related, but they may not necessarily. So my medical side of me is saying, ooh, I want to know your cat better. And to get to know your cat better, that does mean finding out more about what's going on in the body. So anytime we have a kitty that's a regular GI problem, as I call it, either chronic vomiting, weight loss, or diarrhea, that's a chronic thing that we need to investigate further. And that may entail looking up, doing some blood work. It may mean doing some x-rays, maybe doing other things. There are some situations when I have a kitty that has a vomiting problem. A lot of times our first instinct is what food is going to fix it. And if it, in some cases we can do that, but it's not the most common situation. So normally if I worry about that and we don't get the luxury of doing a lot of other tests to try to get to the bottom of it, I'll do a couple things. One, I will do a good deworming protocol. The second thing I'll do is put him on a hypoallergenic veterinary prescribed diet. And that is different than just going to the pet store, pulling a different food off the shelf or varying the manufacturer. And then the third thing that I'll often do symptomatically is use a medicine called Serenio, also known as Meropitant. And it is an anti-nausea medicine. And we can use it at kind of a dosing for cats for vomiting as well as inflammatory problems, even such as asthma. So that might be something that I would try to pull out therapeutically to try to help symptoms. The hair loss and that, I think we'd have to look into further as well, whether that's a component of an allergy as well, because food can make a pet not only have vomiting, but it can also make them lose their hair. So that is something that, you know, that symptom, you know, if we don't have a lot of room to work it up, then we might, you know, address that vomiting first. But the reason
the hair underneath the chin, I've got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Could that be related to... they have glands under their chin. Is that correct?
Well, they're prone to, they have a lot of sebaceous glands. It's not just the only thing there, but we often can see problems with feline acne. It is also a common place where we can see hair loss from, you know, things like allergies to types of feeding bowls, or even, you know, we mentioned food allergies. That's even a possibility. And then there's even cats that'll get bacterial infections or yeast infections. So it's, again, it takes some work, and I think you have a very complicated kitty to kind of talk about over the phone because there are all of these different aspects of things. But the one point I guess I'd want to drive is that, you know, when we talk about food, if we're worried that a pet has a food allergy, it's so important to really stick to a prescribed treatment program and to eliminate everything else. That means treats. That means anything else edible, sneaking into the other animal's foods, and sticking to that for about 6 to 8 weeks. And there's two basic ways that we would address this. Either what we call a novel protein diet, which means we feed food ingredients that the pet has never seen before. So their immune system has no immune response. They have no memory to it. The other is a hydrolyzed protein diet, which is basically where the protein is still accessible to the pet, but it's broken down into a small size so it doesn't trigger an immune reaction. And this is similar to babies who are allergic to milk. They're on hydrolyzed milk formula. So we do this with dogs and cats as well. So those two philosophies, you will need to work with your veterinarian to find the right food. I have favorites in either scenario, and it just depends a little bit on palatability and sometimes cost factors, because it isn't cheap to get into these kind of diets. Mm. But it can really make a huge difference in helping to kind of manage these symptoms and try to get ahead of it.
Now, I know that some people will try a diet and they only try it for like a couple of weeks thinking that's a real good test of a diet, but it takes longer, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, and that's why I said minimum of 6 to 8 weeks. Now, if we're in the food and the pet is getting worse by 4 weeks, I mean, there's no reason to continue that. We would try something different.
Sure.
But there's a lot of kind of, you know, things that we don't realize our pets are getting into. So that's why I mentioned, you know, things like for dogs, heartworm medications, you know, supplements, nutraceuticals that people are giving at home. All of those things can influence because they can have food proteins in it. And animals can be allergic to just about any kind of food protein. It doesn't have to be, or I should say, it doesn't have to be a protein. It can be a carbohydrate, a preservatives, dyes, things like that. So it is a little bit of a hunt to try to find a food that works because there isn't a reliable test that is true to what's going on in the pet. We can't just draw a blood sample and test it in that fashion.
I hope you find the food that works perfect and have yourself a wonderful new year, will you?
Thank you. You too.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Kensington Books. If you love stories about finding strength through the wisdom of dogs, look no further than A Reason for Hope by award-winning author Kristen von Kreisler. It's a beautifully uplifting story about a courthouse dog named Hope, who's trained to comfort victims throughout the legal process. A Reason for Hope is now available everywhere books are sold. And if you need more information, you can visit them over at kensingtonbooks.com. Thanks, Kensington, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on?
Hi, this is Tanya Tucker on Animal Radio. Love those pets.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
Hi, this is Elaine Boozler on Animal Radio. Stay new to your pets and some of your exes.
It's Animal Radio. Thank you for joining us on this New Year's Eve as you're busy scurrying around town doing what you need to do to get ready for the big countdown tonight into 2022.
Big party.
Are you having a party?
Yeah, on the couch watching the ball drop.
In my PJs.
Yeah, by party I mean reading and watching a little TV and canoodling. It's actually pretty cold here where we are, probably where you are too. But if you are in one of those towns that does fireworks, the whole fireworks thing, please be cautious with the animals because, you know, they can get scared with the fireworks and they can bolt, take off, do things that they normally wouldn't do.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point because I forgot all about fireworks. You tend to associate them with 4th of July. There's also a lot of people who go around just shooting off guns into the air on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and then people go to parties and they leave their animals home alone. So they should have some kind of a, you know, background music or something.
Music.
Yeah.
You know what I find is would be good is like the Animal Radio app. Just turn that little puppy on
and let them
listen to Animal Radio.
Listen to me.
But have a wonderful, wonderful new year from all of us here at Animal Radio. And thank you for making us a part of your listening habit through 2021. Now you're working on all. Oh, you want the squeaky
toy?
Yeah,
with the squeaky things. Yes.
Here it is. You got to take it out of her mouth, though. She's not very happy about that.
Here, you can have it back. Jeez.
She's a scary dog for being such a small dog, that little ladybug.
All 9 pounds of her.
Yep. In just a few minutes, we're going to wrap up the year with Ralph Nader. I knew him as a presidential possible pick for, I believe, 2003, I'm going to guess. Maybe it was.
Yeah, it was about that time.
He's done a lot since and now is advocating for the animals and will be joining us in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Lori, what are you working on for this hour?
Talking about, last week we talked about the most popular puppy names for the year, and this hour we're going to talk about the most popular dog names overall and some of the weird trends that are going on in naming your dog.
Well, I noticed this year a lot of dogs seem to be named human names.
Very big trend.
Yeah, we just ran into a dog named Walter.
Walter? That's kind of cute.
I like that. That's cute.
Yeah, I do too.
A little, you know, probably smaller than 10-pound chihuahua named Walter. Oh. And he had his little plaid coat on and he looked like a Walter. He looked like a Walter.
Well, sometimes the name just fits, right?
It did.
Sorry to all you Walters listening. let's go to the phones for your calls for Dr. Debbie right now or for Joey Villani. We have Robert on the phones. Hey, Robert.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Cruising across Nevada here, Elko, Nevada.
Elko, Nevada. Okay, how's your pet?
All right.
How are your animals doing?
Oh, she's okay, but she's got some kind of discomfort. I think it's from a yellow jacket sting.
Oh, okay. Did you see her get stung by one?
No, I didn't. We were at the lake, and she was over by the boat trailers, and there's nobody over there. And all of a sudden, she starts yiping like she's been kicked or something. I go running, and nobody's around her. So there's yellow jacket nest in the boat trailers, and we figured that's what happened.
Okay. So what's going on with her, or what do you see?
Well, it's a month later, and she had some immediate discomfort, but that passed, and now she seems like she's got something in her ear. She walks with her head a little funny, keeps shaking her head.
And have you had that looked at? Have you had a vet look inside her ear?
No, I haven't. I looked and I don't see anything. I think she was just stung below the ear.
Okay. Because that would be really unusual to still have that typical like hypersensitivity irritation from a wasp or bee sting this late down the road. Now, we can set certainly a couple days after I can make a case for that. And in only rare cases where we have some horrible complication of a bee sting where there's like an immune problem, maybe down the road would we still be having some itchiness from that. But my first instinct is I want to look down her ear. The interesting thing is like when you look at a dog's ear, if you're looking at the flap, you're seeing only, gosh, maybe a quarter of what's going on inside a dog's ear. Because they have a very deep kind of convoluted ear canal that we can't see unless we put a scope down in there. So that's my first prescription is I'm going to say, let's get a good scoping inside her ear and look. Now, you might even find, and it's crazy, I found bugs in dog's ear canals. So if there were bees around there or anything else, we want to make sure there's not something inside that ear, whether it's a physical object, a critter, or maybe an ear infection. Any of those things could definitely cause her to still kind of, you know, flap and show discomfort with that ear.
Okay, well, I'll take her to the vet Monday.
Yeah, and is the is the
have him have a look.
Is the flap of the ear from the outside, is that normal, or does it seem thick at all to you?
Everything is normal. And she likes her ear rubbed deep in her head, you know, like they do.
Oh, the and head noogies, right? Yeah.
Yeah. She really leans into it to get that bottom of that right ear.
Alrighty.
It itched. She's a super active 4-year-old minpin that jet skis and snowmobiles and
wow.
She's very active.
Well, very good. That's
not,
good to keep her out and active. All right,
thanks
yeah.
I'd say
we appreciate
my
your call.
Pleasure.
Just a couple of minutes, Ralph Nader will be joining us.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
This is Jane Lynch on Animal Radio. Please spay and neuter your animal. Spay or neuter. Let me say that again. You don't want to do both. Spay or neuter. Let me say it again. Can I do that?
You can do whatever you want.
Oh, God bless. I'm going to try it one more time. Hi, this is Jane Lynch on Animal Radio. Please spay or neuter your animal. I love it.
You do so good early in the morning.
I'm so caffeinated right now, can I tell you? I'm barely holding it together.
You're awesome.
We're in for a treat with The 12 Days of Snowball by Kristen McKenna, a heartwarming novel partly told from the perspective of a mischievous feline named Snowball. Snowball considers herself the official matchmaker for any lonely humans in her life, and it's a job she takes very seriously. The 12 Days of Snowball by Kristen McKenna is available everywhere books are sold. For more info, visit KristenMcKenna.com. That's KristenMcKenna.com.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. Here's some more information that'll be good for your New Year's Eve party or gathering. Last week, we gave you the list of the most popular puppy names of the year. So this week, we have more. But Rover.com is responsible now. They dug into their database of hundreds of thousands of dog names to dish up the top overall dog names across the country. This year, they uncovered some pretty surprising trends. Did you know that 28% of dog names are typically basically human names, but it's much higher than that in this year's top 10 list, being 5 male and 5 female dog names. So they are at number 5, Jack and Luna. Number 4 is Cooper and Lola. In third place, Buddy for males, Daisy for females. The second most popular dog names, Charlie and Lucy, human names, right?
Yeah.
And the most popular dog names, once again, are... Come on,
Bella.
You
Max
guys.
And
Bella. Max and Bella.
Max and Bella.
Always.
There you go. It's also interesting, yeah, that Charlie, Lucy, Max, and Bella, plus Jack and Luna, which were at number 5, are also on the list of the top human baby names for this year. Now, as for food-related names, health food names, you know, peaches, mango, and tofu, those names are down. And kale is also down as a name as well. But it is most popular, kale is, in Portland. And there are apparently many dogs named quinoa.
Quinoa.
Which is quinoa, a very popular name in Los Angeles. That just doesn't flow off your tongue. You hear quinoa, or maybe it does, I don't know. But names that have increased in popularity include those from Game of Thrones, Pokemon, Harry Potter, Stranger Things, and X-Files.
Who knew?
Yeah.
I just can't believe a kid was named Luna.
Luna?
You name a baby Luna?
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it goes with the times.
I guess so.
I know a lot of dogs named Luna. There's a man in Ohio who has gone to extremes to encourage pet owners not to leave their animals outside during some of the extremely cold weather that we've been having. His name is Luke Westerman, and he's a pretty well-known animal advocate who recently spent the night in Goodale Park, which is in Columbus, Ohio, temperatures the night he did it were in the teens.
Eesh.
Luke is a good guy. He says, come on, you know, I just want people to think about what it's like to be outside in such freezing temperatures. Westerman says, domesticated animals, they are just not equipped to handle frigid conditions. And he adds, a way to think about it. Hey, if it's too cold for you or your kids to be outside without a coat, then it's too cold outside for your pets as well. And then you have, if you do leave them outside, which used to be the norm decades ago, but now it's more the norm for them to be inside. But when they're outside, you have to deal with, trying to keep them warm and freezing water. Have you ever tried to keep a water bowl, full of fresh water? Yeah. But they do make heated water bowls these days.
They do. But if it's freezing, they shouldn't be outside, which is weird because right. When I was a kid, my dad kept the dog outside and would not allow the dog inside. In fact, we were punished if we let the dog in and on the couch. So we've come a far way, certainly.
Yeah. I ran away when I was like 7 because my dad wouldn't let us keep the dog in the house. And he said, he has fleas. And, of course, this was, 50 years ago or less, actually. But and I said, well, we let you stay in the house and you have dandruff. He probably should have, grounded me, but he didn't. And finally, Clay Luthy is an Air Force veteran who can't go anywhere without his 10-year-old service dog, Charlotte. In fact, he can't even go to work without Charlotte. That's why this dynamic duo is especially overjoyed that they finally landed a job at the Lowe's in Abilene, Texas. Up until Clay's wife gave him the idea, hey, you should apply at Lowe's because, they allow dogs in there. The veteran had a pretty hard time finding a business that was going to be okay with Charlotte being there with him, all the time and following him around in a work zone. But Lowe's HR department says through the interview process, Clay won the job on his own merit, but the company just got the added benefit of getting Charlotte right along with him. And she wears a vest, too. Isn't that cute?
Yeah. So do we know what kind of job he got there? This is very encouraging for those of us.
Yeah, he's on the floor. He's like an associate. I think that's what they call them on the floor.
And so Charlotte will just be with him at all times?
Yep.
That's cool.
That's great.
Very cool.
Hands off to Lowe, or hats off.
Or pause, high five.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Fear Free. The veterinarian isn't typically thought of as your pet's favorite place to go. With Fear Free, that all changes. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
Hey folks, this is Jackson Galaxy. You're listening to Animal Radio. Please do everyone a favor, spay or neuter your animals today.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Okay, I have two pets. One is a Dachshund miniature pincher mix and a Chihuahua. Okay. So the problem is with the Dachshund. She's having a skin problem. I switched vets like 4 times, and they always said that it's yeast, airborne yeast. And they give her shots, and she goes okay for 2 weeks. But then they give her prednisone, and that makes her eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But
they
she's still itching, and she still have the yeast, and she still have the smell.
And have we used any medicine that's specifically geared towards the yeast, either by a pill form or by a shampoo or a topical form?
Well, they give me Malaset.
Okay.
And I have to bathe her every other day, but sometimes I can tell you the truth. I don't have time, and it's cold, and she gets very cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is that it, or are they using any pills for that other than the prednisone?
No, that, and they give me Apoquil.
Okay.
But Apoquil, she's still itching, and then the doctor said, well, then give her Benadryl.
Okay.
But still itching.
So I'm going to kind of make some interpretations of what you've said and what I think maybe the direction your veterinarian's going here. So if your pet has yeast on the skin, the important thing to know about that is that yeast is generally not the primary problem. It's a secondary problem. So there's usually something else that's making that skin barrier unhealthy, where the yeast can really grow and proliferate. So if they're using things like prednisone and Apoquel, it sounds like they're suspicious that she has an underlying allergy. So those medicines are geared towards the allergy. But the sad thing is, if we use that and don't address infection and treat it with the medications for those conditions, we're really not going to get anywhere. So we're going to think that, you know, the medicine isn't working for allergies, when we're really just not treating a bacterial infection or, say, a yeast infection that could be present. So what my consideration, and I'd ask you to talk to your veterinarian if this seems fair and like a direction that they would agree with, is that if we have yeast in the skin and it's chronic, especially if it creates some of the different symptoms I see with yeast, and I should mention those, yeast in the skin will often cause a really stinky foot odor. Smells like old man foot.
With me, I have to wash my bed and everything every day.
Yeah, so it's a real strong smell. The dogs will often have kind of a greasy feel to them in those areas. And in some cases, when it's present for chronic, long-term periods of time, we'll actually get a thickening of the skin, and it'll become kind of darkly pigmented and almost what I describe as elephantinized. So it kind of becomes like elephant skin.
She had that in her tail. But then I bathed her and went away.
Okay. So that definitely, if those kind of things are going on, then yeast is very, you know, suspicious. We usually confirm that by taking a sample from the skin and looking, and, you know, yeast show up pretty easy on a impression smear. So the thing I would ask you to talk to your veterinarian about is, can we use something systemic for her, for this yeast? And that might mean a couple different possible medicines, but they basically all fall under the category of an antifungal. Medicines such as ketoconazole or itraconazole, or even one called terbinafine. Any of those are used with yeast infections, whether it be in the ears or, say, in the skin. So that would be something. And it does take a long period of time. We might get some improvement after maybe a week or two, but many times this is something that we have to treat for many weeks to months. So that would be something where, I would definitely talk to them about that. The other thing is, you know, definitely the Malaceb that you're using is certainly an appropriate one if we're suspicious of yeast, but there can be even some other things that we can use topically as well, as far as, different types of mousses or sprays that we can use that contain either, say chlorhexidine, which is a type of a, antiseptic, or myconazole, which is a anti-yeast topical. So those can be things that we can add into the regimen. But I think the good thing in your situation is there is some things that I can suggest for you to try. And the big thing is sticking with it.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
All of us here at Fido Friendly Magazine can't wait to get on the road again with our favorite Fido. We know that it's just not a vacation without our furry companions by our side. Start daydreaming now and visit FidoFriendly.com to scout out places near and far so you will be ready for your next adventure once it's safe to travel. That's FidoFriendly.com. Until then, stay safe and leave no dog behind.
It's Alan Cable with Real Dogs Doing Amazing Things. This one only weighs 10 pounds.
Me and my little sister were making mud pies, and I hear a hiss and a rattle, and I look down, and there's a snake.
These two kids were inches away from a venomous rattlesnake.
He was already, like, curled up.
He was coiled and ready to strike, and he tried to, but his bite missed its mark.
Tycho, he got in front of me, and the snake bit him.
This little 10-pound dog took a rattlesnake bite in his right eye.
I mean, he saved her life.
This family is so thankful. All they can do now is wait for the swelling to go down to see if the dog's eye will be okay. Another amazing story out of Baltimore, when police were called about a vicious pit bull. Folks said he was terrorizing the neighborhood. The officer who responded is a dog lover, and he followed the pit bull into an alley. All the dog wanted to do was lick him. The officer got into the back of the patrol car with the dog, and they drove him to the shelter, but when they got there, he couldn't turn the dog in. He brought the dog home to his other two dogs, and they all seemed to be getting along just fine.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
is Animal Radio. Up next, a gentleman who's named by Atlantic Magazine as one of the most influential figures of American history, and by Time Life Magazine as one of the 100 most influential Americans of the 20th century. We welcome Ralph Nader to the show. Hi, Mr. Nader. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Glad to have you on. We were looking back, trying to figure out, what year did you run for president?
1996, unofficially, and then 2000, 2004, 2008, officially.
Well, you've done so much. You have made driving cars safer, eating food healthier, breathing better air, drinking cleaner water. Now we see you've taken a path towards the animals in a book called Animal Envy. Tell listeners a little bit about the premise behind it.
I, like millions of people, and maybe all of you, have often wondered, what would the animal kingdom say to us if we had a common language? What would they want to tell us? Mammals, reptiles, birds, fish, and insects all speak in this book to humans. And it's a fascinating melange of the way they get together, the way they strategize. How do you talk to humans? They're pretty imperious. You know, they think we're stupid and we're just pumped up by our DNA, that we don't learn things, that we can't really adapt other than through instinct. And they don't understand that our well-being is connected to humans' well-being. And if we go down, if we are extinguished or extinct, and our habitats are destroyed, that's going to severely harm the human race. And so I try to make every page a gripping one, one that astonishes the reader with the way sharks can recreate without having intercourse with a male shark. I want to try to get people to imagine the plight of these animals. They have emergency calls. The whole thing revolves around a human genius who develops an app allowing all these animals and insects to talk to human beings and to talk to one another and to probe all the knowledge of the natural world assembled by human beings. And then an elephant, owl, and a dolphin sort of take charge, and the human genius opens up 100 hours of global TV. And he says to the elephant, owl, and dolphin, okay, you program what all of you in the animal kingdom have been wondering and wishing you would say to human beings.
What was your inspiration for this?
Well, it's my own curiosity. You know, we all grow up as kids, and we read these little fairy tales, you know, where animals sort of are speaking, you know, language, right? And cartoons are that way, of course, too. And I began to watch squirrels and watch, you know, just in the neighborhood. And I once watched a squirrel leap from one brace of twigs in a tree to another 40 feet off the ground. And, of course, it didn't slip. And it occurred to me, I've never seen a squirrel make that leap and slip. And so, you know, squirrels are considered rather dumb animals, and, you know, they're just driven by instinct, and they like nuts. And just think of the calculations in those squirrels' brains. Wind, moisture, the flexibility of the twigs that they're about to land on. They know that if they fall, it's curtains. A cat, if they don't get killed in the fall, the cat will pounce on them. They'll be wounded. And then I said to myself, you know, I see humans all the time. They're walking down the street and they fall on a flat sidewalk. And then I started reading a lot of the recent scientific information by naturalists and others and biologists and ecologists about the intelligence of dogs and cats, more recently the intelligence of chickens and the different ways they communicate and they modulate the sound of their communications. And, of course, we've had a lot of information about the knowledge and the intelligence of primates and how elephant herds take care of an injured little elephant, even at their group peril, to keep the little wounded elephant from being eaten by the lions, and how elephants can have sorrow and grief and empathy, how crows can figure things out and actually use primitive tools. And so I thought that this Animal Envy book would really challenge and delight the imagination of anybody who read it. It's for all ages. It's for all backgrounds. It's for all cultures all over the world.
I appreciate you spending time with us today. The book is called Animal Envy. I have 10 copies to give away right now. If you can't get on through, I encourage you to head on over to Amazon.com or your local bookstore and ask for Animal Envy by Ralph Nader. Thank you so much for the book. And Ralph, thank you so much for hanging with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Good listeners.
Okay, it's about time for us to get on out of here. Have yourself a very safe and beautiful New Year's celebration. We will catch you next year.
Happy New Year.
Woo-hoo. Cheers.
Cheers and Happy New Year.
This is Animal Radio Network.